One. Welcome again to Stephen's Old Bible Chapel. It's kind of a miracle that Jason actually wore his costume. Last night he declared that he wasn't going to and that he didn't want to be a lamb. He wanted to be a shepherd with Leo, I think, so. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at the account of the shepherds this morning, verses 8 through 20. Let's open in prayer to start with. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be together, and we thank you for your word that has so many riches in it for us, and I pray that you would open our hearts this morning as we look at the account of the shepherds, and that our hearts would be filled with the wonder that the shepherds experienced, and that those who they told about their experience were filled with, and I pray that you would guide my words and that I would not get in the way of your word, and help us to apply your word to our lives as well. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So we'll start by reading through the passage, Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. It says, "In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you: you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.' When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them." So I just wanted to look today at kind of four points regarding the shepherds and things that we can apply to our lives, that kind of following their example and just being encouraged by what God did. First of all, the question I think that could be asked would be, why were the shepherds the ones that God decided to announce Christ's birth to? Why did he decide to bring to them the first announcement of Christ's birth? In obviously the prophets had foretold it, but as far as announcing the event that it had come, we don't know exactly why. But by their response that we see here in Luke, we see that they had hearts ready for the message. And maybe God chose the shepherds because Jesus was going to grow up to be the good shepherd, and he already had that role as the Son of God. And then we know, too, that in that picture of him being the good shepherd, and in that role, it's kind of a major theme as far as comparing Christ to a shepherd and the body of Christ to sheep, and so it's a picture that we see quite a bit in God's word. Even in the Old Testament, there's that imagery is used, so between God and Israel. So maybe that's one reason why he chose shepherds to reveal this message to. But I think it's also that God has a special place in his heart for ordinary or lowly people. In Psalm 138, verse 6, it says, "For though the Lord is exalted, yet he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar." And there's other verses that talk about how God cares about the lowly or the ordinary, and also like orphans and those who are forgotten or rejected by men. And the shepherds were ordinary people. I think you could say that they were some of the blue-collar workers of their day. And they lived a fairly hard life outdoors, caring for their sheep and fighting wild animals and protecting their sheep and finding food and water for their sheep. I'm so thankful that God loves everyone, and including ordinary people like me. And these ordinary shepherds had an extraordinary supernatural experience here. And I can understand why they were terribly frightened, as it says in the NASB. The Greek word there that's translated terribly is megas, which means great, and it's the word that we get mega from for compound words like megaphone, or there's quite a few words that use that. So they were greatly frightened, greatly afraid, terrified, basically. And it's understandable because they were out at night, just an ordinary night, and probably tended to be a little bit on edge at night anyway, because they were guarding their sheep against predators, and some of which would come at night. And so probably a little bit on edge because of that. But and then suddenly an angel stands before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And we can only imagine what the glory of the Lord is like. We haven't seen it with our physical eyes. And so they were naturally terrified because of the sudden brightness and an angel being there. So the angel then speaks to them and reassures them, and tells them not to be afraid, and it seems that they took his word and calmed down because they listened and heard his message. So the second point on the outline that you have, the shepherds believed the message that was brought to them. I'll read verses 10 through 16 again. It says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.' When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger." The angel brought them the most wonderful message that had ever been announced to men, that today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And the shepherds believed it. They demonstrated their belief by acting on what they heard. they went to Bethlehem, and they went in a hurry to find this baby. They knew the significance of the name Christ, or Messiah, which was anointed one. For the Jews, that was significant because they were looking for or waiting for the coming of the Messiah, or they should have been. Too many of them, unfortunately, weren't looking or waiting in the way they should have, and so they didn't recognize his coming. But they were still in their minds thinking the Messiah is going to come someday. They just, unfortunately, most of them didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But these shepherds, it seems that they were looking for and waiting for the Messiah's coming, and they took the angel at his word and believed that the Messiah had come. And based on what we know from here in Luke, it doesn't seem like the shepherds doubted the message. If they had lacked faith, they could have, first of all, they could have questioned the experience, like, did we really just see angels, or, you know, did we all have a dream, or did, you know, what's going on? But it doesn't seem like they questioned the experience. And then they also could have questioned the message. For instance, if the Messiah has come, why are we the ones that are being told about it? Like, we're just shepherds out in the fields. Or they could have asked, well, if the Messiah has come, why in the world is he in a manger, a feeding trough? Like, why didn't he come to the temple, or at least come to some, you know, wealthy person's home, or an inn? So faithless hearts could have come up with many doubts and many questions. But at the very least, faithless hearts could have said, let's go into Bethlehem and see if this thing has actually happened, which the Lord has made known to us. But the shepherds said, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they believed the message. They had faith. And it's an encouragement and example for us, especially kind of ties in with the series that we started last week in Hebrews 11, where we're going to be looking at faith and going through the characters that are in Hebrews 11 that demonstrated faith in God. And so these shepherds believed. They had faith in what the angels told them, and they went, they acted on that, demonstrating their faith. A couple other verses of that tie into that, that where we see examples of those who took God at his word. In John chapter 4, verse 50, the royal official came to Jesus asking for him to come and heal his child. And in verse 50, Jesus said to him, "Go, your son lives." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started off. So we see another man who believed God's word. And then in Luke chapter 1, verse 45, when Elizabeth is talking to Mary and kind of praising the Lord, she says, "And blessed is she, Mary, who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." So Mary had also taken God at his word, like the shepherds did, and believed it. And for an application for us, to take God's word and believe it and act on it, James chapter 1, verse 22, a familiar verse, says, "But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." And so in other parts of James, he talks about how works follow faith, and how true faith is demonstrated by doing, by the works that follow. And So for us, we need to believe God's word, and then we need to act on it, demonstrating that we actually do believe it. Because the shepherds, if they had, you know, they could have said, well, I believe the message, but I don't know, maybe we'll go into Bethlehem later, or we don't really want to go right now. If they hadn't gone, you would have to question, well, did they actually believe the message, since they didn't act on it? But the shepherds did act on it, and the challenge to us is to take God at his word and to act on it and obey it. So the third point now, verses 17 through 19, the shepherds told others, verses 17 through 19, it says, when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. So the shepherds shared with others the wonderful message that they had received. And by this account here, I think we can tell that they were excited and full of joy. They went right away and hurried to Bethlehem, and then they told others what the angels had told them, and then they went back glorifying and praising God. So I think the shepherds were very excited and full of joy because of what they had heard and seen. And so we don't know for sure how many people they told, but I think they probably told quite a few people because they were so excited and joyful about what the Lord had revealed to them and what they had seen. Because when they went and found Mary and Joseph and Jesus, they saw that what the angel had said was true, like the sign that the angel had given them was matched with what really happened. And so it was confirmed in that way. And then it's neat how it says in verse 18, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. That word wondered, the Greek word that's translated wondered, means to marvel and wonder. And it's translated in other places as amazement, surprised, marveling, astonished. So the people who heard what the shepherds had to say, they wondered, they marveled, they were amazed at this message that the Messiah had been born there in Bethlehem. It was an amazing and wonderful message, and still is, and it should cause us to wonder and be amazed as well. I like the carol that we sang a couple weeks ago, I Wonder as I Wander. I'll just read the first verse. I wonder as I wander out under the sky how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor ornery people like you and like I. I wonder as I wander out under the sky. And so the people in that day and the shepherds, they were wondering and filled with amazement. We have so much more to cause us to wonder, because we can look back at all of Christ's life on earth and his work on the cross and his resurrection. The shepherds, they just kind of were at the beginning of the story, and they didn't know, you know, with the prophecies, they could have some ideas of what was coming, but they didn't have a full understanding of, you know, what this child was going to grow up and do, and full understanding of his work on the cross for us. So we have much to be amazed at and to wonder at. And like the shepherds, we should tell others about the Savior. And that's a challenge that I need to be reminded of, to be sharing with others the joy that I have in Christ, and to share his love and the truth about our wonderful Savior. A couple passages I'd like to look at in this regard. The first one is Luke 8, another time where someone was told to go and tell others. Luke 8, the story of the man who had was demon-possessed, and the Lord rescued him from that and freed him from the demons in the area of Decapolis. Luke 8, verses 38 and 39, after he was rescued and he believed on the Lord Jesus, and he desperately wanted to go with Jesus when Jesus left to cross the sea again, but Jesus wanted him to stay, and I'll read verses 38 and 39. But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him. But he, being Jesus, sent him away, saying, "Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. So that's an example for us, and really we should take that as a command to us as well, to go and tell others what great things the Lord has done for us. And then another passage in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." So a couple things in here. The verse 3, Paul asks for prayer, that God would open a door for the word for them, and that they would speak forth the mystery of Christ. And that's something that we should be praying for ourselves and for others, that the Lord would open up doors for the word of God, and that so that we could speak forth the mystery of Christ, and that we may make it clear in the way we ought to speak. And then he also exhorts them to conduct themselves with wisdom towards outsiders, those around them, and to make the most of the opportunity. So it's an exhortation for us to be actively praying about and acting on opportunities to share the word, like the shepherds did, telling others about the Savior. So back in Luke chapter 2, verse 20, the fourth point on the outline, they praised God. Verse 20 says, "The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them." They followed the example of the angels. If you look in verses 13 and 14, it says, "Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest.'" So the shepherds followed the example of the angels and were glorifying and praising God as they went back to their shepherding responsibilities. And we should follow their example and be glorifying and praising God for the wonder of the incarnation. the wonder that the Son of God came to earth to be our Savior, that he came and took on human flesh, humbled himself and took on human flesh and lived here and went to the cross, the ultimate form of humiliating death to pay the price that our sins, that we deserved because of our sins. And he went and to be our substitute. And we should be glorifying and praising him for that as we, as the shepherds did, as in glorifying and praising him for the things that the Lord had revealed to them and allowed them to see. Over in verse 38 of this chapter, we see Anna as an example of that as well. Verse 38, she was in the temple when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus in to the temple, and says, at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So she's an example of both this point and the previous point, telling others. She was giving thanks to God, worshiping God for the incarnation, the coming of the promised Messiah. And in Jude 24 and 25, Jude verses 24 and 25 says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority, before all time, and now and forever. Amen. So another exhortation to be glorifying God, worshiping God. And here he's, that worship comes from a place of remembering what he's done for us, that he is able to keep us from stumbling and to make us stand in the presence of his glory. We can stand in God's holy presence as believers because of Christ's perfect final sacrifice that made it possible for us to be restored to a right relationship with God. So I just encourage and challenge myself and all of us this week as we remember Christ's birth and as we think about the incarnation, to let our hearts be filled with that wonder and amazement, and to tell others about what God has done, and to worship and glorify God for the amazing salvation that he has given us through his Son coming to earth. So let's close in prayer, and then I think we're going to have one more hymn to thank you, Lord, for the amazing and joyous message that the angels brought to the shepherds, announcing the birth of our Savior, and just bringing in all of the aspects of who he is, the Savior and the Christ, the Messiah, and also Lord, expressing his deity. And we thank you for that amazing message that still rings with the same joy and wonder today as it did then. And we have so much greater an understanding of all that it meant. And we thank you for the privilege of knowing you and of having a relationship with you through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would fill our hearts with wonder and worship this week as we remember the coming of our Savior and as we celebrate his birth. And we thank you for your amazing love to us. And we give thanks and worship in Jesus' name. Amen.